Hi, everyone. This is Gary Barkalow and John Hard. We are hosting tonight's campfire conversation with Base Camp and the Secret Garden. And tonight we have dear friends of ours, and most of you know Dana and Jeff. If you haven't met them personally, you've at least probably heard them. We've had them on different times. And we often share some of their stories when we're doing these workshops, retreats that we do. But you know what? We just haven't caught up with them for a while, and much has been going on. And there are quite a few of you that are really fairly new to this, to the community of Base Camp and the Secret Garden. So Jeff and Dana, we'd love to kind of start with you just maybe just kind of sharing. We need a little contrast, a little context as you bring us kind of into your current story. And so after you say hello, I'd love for you guys just to share a little bit what life was like, let's say, around 3 years ago before, you know, the big changes took place in your life, a geographic change, work changes, this kind of thing. So, yeah, kind of give us a context for tonight.
Sure. Dana, go ahead.
Okay.
All right,
well,
looked
hi,
at
I'm
me
Dana.
With...
You're on the porch. I can't even look at you right now, honey.
I know, because it would be the death stare, because she
no.
all day was like, you talk, I'll follow. You talk, I'll follow. So,
well, Gary, honestly, if I could go back a little bit further than 3 years, I would like to just say that several years ago, I don't remember how many now, I remember being with a group of women at the beach, and we were all wanting to hear each other's stories. And before we were introduced to the Noble Heart, and I remember when it was my turn to tell my story, I just felt like all the dark stuff just came out, and I didn't see any of the glory. I didn't see any of, or at least I didn't communicate any of where was God in the story of my youth. And it kind of shut me down. You know, I didn't really want to do that again after that experience. And then to be invited to a calling intensive with a small group of women at your place, and to retell again, but with tools to, you know, do your storyline, to have the picture exercise, and to have some other things that we did. And the outcome of that weekend really changed my life. To this day, I can't tell you, with the feedback of the diamond where God was mining in my story that I couldn't see, that you all saw for me. I was introduced to parts of my story that I didn't know were there. I was introduced to God in my story in ways that I hadn't seen him there. And it's continued to this day, honestly, to have a deep impact on me. And so I just want to say thank you for that. I don't know if you realize that, but
yeah, thank you. That's so encouraging to hear that. And, that's amazing to hear.
You,
I still pull my pictures out.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
You still
I
have
do.
The big white sheet of paper with all the pictures on it? Yeah.
Yep, it's pretty ratty, but I still have it. Yep.
and it just real quickly, and it still feels, as you look at some of those really core pictures that you identified or the group did, it still feels like that is just still very true of you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it
some
of the stuff spoke faith into me. You know, one of the pictures I had was of a door with light around it. I don't know what I wrote on, but I remember somebody saying door of hope. It's freed me up in a lot of ways. It's very good. So.
Yeah. That's great.
Jeff? Yeah, for me to follow up on that, you know, for those that don't know me, I was able to had the opportunity to do some of these retreats with Gary. I think you had counted, maybe we had done 28 together, and so I have come out of doing that and had to return to work, and so now flying for American, and so I'll jump in the cockpit with a co-pilot, and so right away we'll start talking, and we do a lot of West Coast trips, so the first day going out west will be, so tell me all about it, you know, where are you from, what do you love to do, and it's story time going out the first day. And it's a lot of fun because I'll ask questions and things like that. They have no idea of what I used to do, right? So then the second day coming back when they think, wow, okay, we really talked a lot the first day. Then the second day I start in with, so tell me, what's your three favorite movies? And you know, and they're like, and they love these questions, you know? And I'm like, well, okay, so what did you like about that movie, you know? And we'll have this conversation, and then we get into three favorite books. And so I'm sitting here sort of a disciple, so to speak, of my experience and carrying it to these unsuspecting people who are trapped now in the cockpit, right? Can't go in. We're really having a lot of fun with that. So anyway, the legacy continues.
And I'm guessing that you probably asked them, hey, do you have three favorite historical characters and why? Because that was your question.
Yeah.
I never thought of until you say, we asked guys about that. And I said, Jeff,
yeah,
people don't study history as much as you do.
Yeah.
But it's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so in answer to your question, going back 3 years ago, we were really going through a transition of having had the nonprofit. We were Expeditions of the Heart, but really that was on the back burner, and we had been doing a lot of retreats with you, Gary. And yet we really sensed a transition and this opportunity to reconcile with my career of having medical doubt. And so at that time, Dana is the bookkeeper. She's really good with numbers, and she would go in and do the bills. And it was that time of month when she had to do the bills for days before she dreaded the fact that she was going to have to do this. And then when she would come out of the room having done the bills, she would be white. And I had realized that having been out of work for 8 years, it had really kind of taken its toll, and it was time I had to do something. And so this opportunity came about for me to go back to work without really knowing whether I could do it or not. If you're out of an industry for a year or two, often that industry will pass you by. And so for me to think about coming back was going to be a real risk and a challenge, and anyway, we took the plunge. And
can I just say though, honey, I when you were originally out of work, you were kind of, you weren't looking back. You were, you know, what's God got for me? You found a new kind of path to run in, but then down the road, you kept looking up at the sky and seeing the contrails, and you were haunted by them. And there was a desire that God stirred back up in you to go back to work. And then there was a way made for you to go back to work. It wasn't just we decided. It was really what God was up to. And it was actually a really sweet few years of you trying to get back to work and us talking about what would that look like and what would that cost us. And it was a really precious journey.
Yeah, it was. One of the things thinking about this question that we were thinking about is that so much of the transition out of work and into the nonprofit had come about by tragedy or a crisis. I medicaled out. I remember, of course, Angie running away from school and having to find her and then bring her to a therapeutic boarding school, my own daughter. It was a very crushing experience, which led to an amazing move of God in our lives. He used it all and to his glory. But I had realized that so much of that transition in our life was precipitated by crisis, that we were wanting to get off that train of not allowing maybe crisis to determine the next leg of our journey, but that we could fight to regain what was rightfully ours, my career, and for us now to move into the next stage of our life based on now desire, and what we knew of what God was calling us to do. So it was going to be a real change. And I found out that that was actually very difficult. I had gotten into a more of a crisis mindset and more of a defeatist attitude of, you know, when's the next shoe going to fall type. And God had to clear up a lot of that kind of thinking with me that, hey, you don't have to think that way. And to be honest, when I went back to work, I was wondering if I would even make it a year before I would medical out. I just didn't know if I could actually do it anymore. And so that was a great process of getting a new mind concerning the future and having experienced death, but now trying to embrace resurrection and some things that were to come our way.
Right. Well, and you know, for those who don't know, part of your story is you experienced the dropping of a big shoe while you had medicaled out. You had really kind of start a men's ministry in your church and bigger than the church, reaching out farther than that. And then to have that as it's been built and growing and has real substance and weight to it, having that taken away from you. Yeah. I mean, that just makes sense why you're thinking, okay, this is going to happen. One more thing that I love is going to happen again. And I can just tell everyone the three things you always talk about when we're together, you know, back in those years and even to today, you always talked about Dana, flying, and men's ministry. And you didn't have flying, and you did have a men's ministry, but then that was taken away from you. And you always had Dana, and you were holding on to it. So that fear makes sense.
So just one minute of clarity on that or a good point I'd like to make. Even though we were at church and we had this wonderful men's ministry, and it really had become citywide. It wasn't located just at our church. Mm-hmm. But the pastor really started to see it as a threat. And a lot of people might be familiar with this story. And he made it very difficult for me to stay. And the truth of it was that I wasn't supposed to stay, actually. I was supposed to go out and experience a lot of things that I had no idea that I was going to, people I was going to meet and experiences I was going to have outside of that church. And, of course, that's when we met Gary and we started doing these retreats. And there was this kind of national presence and getting to meet men I would have never met had I stayed in the church. And so although the pastor back then, who is now actually a dear friend, I mean, I just talked to him today, matter of fact, he was at that time the asshole that made it impossible for me to stay there. And in a sense, he played his role perfectly in my life, you know, even though at the time it was very difficult to go through it. Looking back now, I can actually thank him for the experience, but so that's what happened there.
So do you actually thank him for being what you just called him, or do you?
Oh yeah, I'm straight up with Phil. Oh yeah, Phil's he's like a Catholic priest, football player kind of guy. Oh yeah, when we reconciled, we took cigars and a bottle of whiskey up a mountain to Craig's place and didn't come down until we were best friends again. Oh yeah, it was a brawl.
Yeah.
No, you don't hold.
And actually, he would say that you took the door and he was glad to slam it on your way out. You know, so it was a mutual thing at that time between you two.
Right. Right.
But beautiful the way that God redeems. So beautiful.
And then The barn had me speak down here when we moved to Charlotte. And so who was the first guy down here to want to see me speak at the barn was Bill Copeland, you know, this pastor. Drives all the way down, spends a couple days, and goes with me to the talk, you know. So anyway, great story there.
So, okay, so you go back to flying, Jeff. You eventually sell your house, moved from Charlottesville to Charlotte, North Carolina. Dana leaves the work that she's been doing, actually for really a nonprofit and an individual, I think, right, Dana? You were kind of working for two things?
Dana? You have to unmute yourself. you got dropped? Okay, go ahead and redial. You have the phone number? Okay, so she got dropped.
Okay.
She's going to redial
okay.
right now. But so she
all
was
right, that's fine.
For,
so, yeah, go ahead.
She was picking up a lot of this slack financially, and she had three nonprofits that she was keeping the books for, plus mine. So four nonprofits, and she was a personal assistant to a very wealthy family in Charlottesville. And thank God for that experience, because had that not happened, we wouldn't have made it. So, but she was tired. And you know what was amazing is just what she had gone through with the kids. Her husband's out of work. And you know, now he's doing this men's ministry thing and he's traveling around the country. There was so much assault on her heart, you know. Excuse me.
I need the conference ID.
The conference ID? The conference ID is 071742. Right there. And I saw such an assault on her heart. I saw it as clear as could be. And there was so much of my decision to think about going back to work was based on, gosh, I would do anything to give this woman some relief, you know. And it was a long, long process there. You am? Okay. Can you hear me, hon?
So,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm back for some reason.
Oh, that's fine. It happens. I know.
Okay.
So you guys move from Charlottesville, Virginia, to Charlotte, North Carolina. You're in a brand new area. You've left the house you've been in for so long. All these friends you've had for so many years. Everything is new. How was that? Was that difficult, or did that feel like just a relieving, light, new start? How was that for you guys?
So, Dana, you want to start? Yeah.
It wasn't something that happened overnight. It was Jeff and I spent, honestly, at least a year, if not more, walking and sitting on the front porch and wherever we were, talking about this and praying about this and talking about what would it cost for him to try to stay in Charlottesville and commute, what would it cost to move, and just really sensing that God was saying, it's God that was saying, I want you to move. I want your, you know, let's let Jeff be in base so that he can easily get to work and it's not a headache for him, so that his transition back is a good transition. And in my heart, I felt like God was inviting me into a space of solitude, and I knew it would be a season of solitude, and I actually was relishing it. And when we first came, there was just kind of wind in our sails to leave. We were sent off beautifully by our friends and kind of just this sweet time when Jeff would go to work, I would be with Jesus in bed and a pot of tea. And so initially it was really sweet. And it continues to be, although, you know, there is the loneliness sometimes. I'm making friends now and stuff like that. And so there's that component that I'm, you know, we're building. But Jeff and I have been dating each other, and it's been a slower paced life. It's been very, very sweet.
You know, I was really taken by that in an email when you said today to me, Dan, in an email that you guys were dating each other again. And I thought, I really like that, the idea of dating again. So anyway, yeah, that's really good.
We had a hot date
to me.
What,
honey?
Jeff.
We had a hot date last night. We walked into the village and saw Jungle Book. And loved it.
Good.
Go ahead.
So Dana's just really relieved that that's the only place you went just then. That was really good.
Yeah.
And
no, we're going to get around to sex. Go ahead.
I think we're almost out of time now, right?
Well, Jeff is. So
but
Jeff
was
you,
saying
you,
to me, and it's true. He both of us are saying to each other, we've been laughing a lot lately too. And he said, I think that the laughter's just it comes easier now. I heard him saying when I got dropped from the call that I was doing the bills and working a lot of extra jobs and wondering, you know, how are we going to make it to the next paycheck and that kind of stuff. And to have that relief, you know, is really, it's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and he kept saying to me, Gary, it's my turn now. It's my turn for Dana. And so Jen, you didn't stroll right into being a commercial pilot. I mean, remember you just saying the fear of going back in and the enormous hard work you had to do to get back in and then the thought I'd be able to stay here. So that was a hard transition for you, right?
Oh, yeah. And I spent 3 months as a co-pilot after 8 years off. And then right away, the shortest amount of time possible, they let me go right back to captain. And so I was as close to from a passenger to the left seat as you could get possibly, you know. And so it was a tremendous rush. It was exciting. It is exciting. It was a restoration of beauty. I had forgotten how beautiful it is up there, and I have not lost that. Every time I go up, I got my camera, and I'm hanging out with God up there. So it was a lot of work. It was a wonderful experience, and it was this great opportunity that Dana all of a sudden really quickly started working with Robin Thompson doing the woman's retreat, and she had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with these girls. They do these beach weekends once a year. And so what was that like, Dana, for you? I'm back working now, and you're almost doing what I was doing, right?
I know. I'm telling Jeff I only have 6 more years of this to go. I love it.
Yeah. 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 Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well,
No,
but, so what's that like for you, Dana, to be doing these retreats with Robin?
Well, they're once a year, but I felt like – Michael and Robin have invited me to be a part of their women's weekends for a while, and I couldn't say yes. I just couldn't bring myself to say yes, and I finally, after maybe the, I don't know, third or fourth time that they asked me, I realized that God was asking me to do that. It wasn't just them, and that it was that He was asking me to say yes and to be courageous. Because I don't picture myself as a public speaker. And it was really, really good for my heart to do that, and hopefully good for the hearts of the women there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've heard stories out to Colorado about you speaking there and being with the women, so I know it's had an impact. Hey, John, I keep talking. I didn't even give you a chance to ask a question or make a comment, so you take a turn. Go ahead, John.
Well, that's good because I do have a couple of questions. I was just sitting there thinking about, you know, I know Jeff real well. I haven't met Dana yet, although we've talked on the phone once or so, but I kind of have a sense of what each of you individually, what your calling is or what the weight of your life is. But I watch you guys on Facebook a lot as a couple, and I'm wondering if you guys could put into words what your calling is as a couple. Because there is an effect that you two have together that's pretty profound.
Yeah. You know, I could tell you how my marriage works. And it works like this. I don't tell Dana what to do, and she doesn't tell me what she does.
Thanks.
Okay, so that's how
that
works.
I have to think about that one. That was too profound, too deep for me.
Yeah, yeah. No. So I'll come downstairs, and I'll see this brand-new outfit, you know, and I'm like, wow, where'd you get that? Oh, I've had this for 3 months now, you know, and I get that quite a bit. But, you know, John, I don't know if you know, but we have the last couple of years had a chance to do marriage retreats with actually Michael and Robin with Zoe. And, you know, when I show up at these marriage retreats, I don't read marriage books. I don't have any tips or techniques. I literally don't. I'm just crazy about her, you know. And I'd say the most important things that I can think about with my marriage is I don't know how people do it without God. And so mm-hmm. I would literally have to put him as the one who has held us together, that he is this hero of our story, of our marriage. And mm-hmm. and the other thing has been the church. In that I mean by
yeah.
friends who I watched these men love their wives in such a way that they didn't have to share tips and techniques. It was almost like, just watch me, you know. And I think about Craig Kohlberg, Wendell Wynn, guys like that, just real pillars of my community back up there in Charlottesville. And so I would say Christ in the church, heavily on the two, what I would say, key ingredients. And because there's really no tips or techniques, the truth of it is I'm just crazy about her. You know, I don't have to work at that. It just really, honestly, comes natural. But having been through what I've been through with Gary and the whole calling intensive, I know my job is to facilitate her becoming everything she is supposed to be. And that this is a shared adventure. And, you know, she took a back seat while I was able to go out and be part of a larger community. And at this point, I'm the one actually working, and she's able to be part of this now larger community. So there's this shared purpose that we have, and my job is to see her flourish. Now, I want to say that has not really been that easy all the time. Going back to work was very hard. I'm out there, you know, high-pressure situations. And Dana's going on her next beach weekend with the girls, you know. And I can remember a couple of times going, okay, great. You go to the beach, and I'll strap two rockets to my ass with 50,000 pounds of jet fuel and go dodge thunderstorms again, you know. And I'm laughing at myself because I'm going, this is exactly what I wanted to do for her. And yet I'm going, gosh, I'm carrying all the weight here on this, you know. And I'm like, honey, when are you going to get a job, right? You know, and that sort of thing.
And you know, Dana, okay. You know, Dana, that none of us feel bad for Jeff whatsoever, right?
Well,
I'm just being honest here. It hasn't been all that, you know, 100%
right.
easy, you know?
Yep.
I think it's really important to say that, to go after your wife's heart and to release it is
right.
really, yeah, it's not that easy.
Well, honey, it that goes both ways, let me tell you. But
yeah.
And I love the season that I'm in right now and that we're in right now, and I don't know how long it's going to last. But the other thing I would say, I have said this, I didn't come from a family that marriages stayed together. And Jeff and I just celebrated our 30th anniversary. And I agree with Jeff. It's God in our lives and his seeing us through and giving us eyes to see each other and see him in each other. And it's the people that we've surrounded ourselves with who highly esteem marriage and Christ and seeing things through. And you know, for me, watching Jeff go back to work, and I really watched, you know, close up his struggle with, I don't think I'm going to last a year. I don't think I'm going to get through training. And in me, I just believed in him. I knew he was going to get through training with flying colors. I knew he was going to make it more than a year. I think he's going to make it all the way to retirement. And one of my things that I say, I call him, I believe in you, Peter Pan. You know, I think that's what we do for each other as husbands and wives. Is when the other one can't, the other one believes for the other, you know. And I call him he's my Mr. Darcy. He truly is. And I'm not going to blow you in, honey, on your imperfections, but no.
Yeah.
He's Peter Pan and Mr. Darcy to me. And another thing that I love about Jeff is we might get into a serious conversation that could be leading to an argument, and all of a sudden he'll first see the ridiculousness of some of the things that we're, you know, discussing, and he'll burst out into belly laugh, and we will just find ourselves cracking up, and I love that about him. So,
yeah.
So we had this situation where we talked about maybe Dana going back to work and getting a job and that sort of thing, and there were a few things that we had to knock out beforehand, and one of them was going to Venice, and so we did that, and we've come back, and now we're like, okay, hey, you know, what does it look like next for you? And I honestly have this dilemma of I love the place she's in right now. I don't want to change anything about her. She's so much lighter on her feet. She's funny. She's the kind of woman that you could share the depths of Christ with and be belly laughing the next minute with. And, you know, and I'm like, why do I always have to try to make something better? Why not really just enjoy her right now? Because I just love the way she is right now. Do I really want to change that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
so,
where
so
I'm
change,
at right
change
now.
Change is kind
it.
Of on hold right now until you see, right?
Yeah. Well, and when I talk about getting a job, I had talked her into, when she first moved here, into working at Banana Republic. And so she was able to walk right into the village here. And she learned so much about herself by going into retail, something she had never done before. And so I'm not talking about going back to work to make money or to get in the grindstone and that sort of thing. I'm talking about putting your foot in the water and learning some things about yourself and beginning to offer that to the larger community. You know, it's really not
so
much about.
Yeah, so I think when you say back to work, it's stepping out into journey and what's next and that kind of thing.
Right, and right, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm.
which will come. Yeah, but the Banana Republic experience was great. I'm an introvert, and so for me to have to greet people at the door and, you know, show them the clothes and that kind of thing, that was really good for me, and I'm better at it now than Jeff is, I have to say. And
yeah. You mean he was at Banana
thing?
Republic too for a while?
No, I'm, but he would say,
I know.
You know, he was more of the extrovert. Anyway. The other thing I loved about that was eye-opening to me was I love to work in the dressing rooms with the women. And every single woman, no matter how perfect her figure is or not, they all see imperfections, every one of us. And I loved to call out women's beauty in an honest way in the dressing rooms and to give them things that would compliment them. And there was a woman around Christmas time one year. She had just had a baby. So, you know, she was soft and her face was flushed and she was curvy and she needed a dress for her husband's Christmas party and she was just so discouraged. And we found her something that she just looked beautiful in and, you know, some cute little heels. But I don't know what it is about us that we can't see. She couldn't see the beauty in her. You know, she had just given life. She had just given her husband a baby. She, you know, she was the epitome of beauty to me. But that was quite an experience.
For you to point it out to her, how beautiful she was.
Well, yeah.
And she saw
and just
it.
To hear,
yeah.
And she believed it about herself by the time she walked out of there. But, yeah.
Well, and I'm guessing the reason she did was she knew – She could sense that you were being sincere with her, not simply trying to sell her a garment, and,
right.
and maybe laugh under your breath when she walks out the door. But Dana, I'm
right.
just thinking when you were sharing that, I'm remembering some of your story and what we've done with the kind of recalibrating your calling and all that, these conversations. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what you do for people. You know, you just gave us a very concrete example in a retail store, but that is what you do for people. Period, in all different ways. So that's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts as we come, you know, close to the end of our time here? What are your thoughts about the years coming? And I know, Jeff, you said, you know, I love where Dana is right now. We've talked about her, you know, kind of intentionally moving into something. But what else are you guys thinking and dreaming of right now? Or you're feeling like, no, we're in the middle of the season. We're not doing that at this point.
You know, for me, I've really had to reconcile with the fact that I have the privilege to work and to love Dana. And in a sense, that's been enough for me right now. I almost relish the idea of sort of not being in the public or square or an arena. I long for obscurity and to just kind of kick back and maybe take account of where we are, but not afraid to get lost a little bit going into the next stage of our lives. I'm 58, so I'm going to be going into the 60s, and I'm thinking about that. What's the next stage of this journey look like? But being satisfied with working and loving and dating Dana. And so we had a great trip for our 30th. We went to Venice. Wayne Jacobson said it was the most romantic city he had ever been to. And I thought, oh, man, this is perfect. 30 years, the most romantic city. Let's do it. And so it was a kiss from God. We got first class, you know, and there we are. We're on our way to Venice. And tell them, Dana, what was the best day in Venice?
Oh, God. They were all really good, but
that's a trick question, Dana. Careful.
Yeah, I know. Having no plan and just going into the city with the idea that we were going to try to get lost. And so we just, I mean, by the end of the day, we had walked for 9 hours, I think, and just found ourselves, you know, and Jeff, I think, said, you can't really get lost on an island, which is a good thing, but we tried. it was really fun. It was a beautiful, romantic city.
So one night we actually, I actually endured and made it through an Italian opera. And which I get a lot of credit for, because next time I have to do the dishes or something like that or take the garbage out, I can just say, hey, man, I did the opera, you know. And but it actually turned out to be a wonderful experience. And we go into this opera, and lo and behold, right behind us are five couples from North Carolina. And they went on a 10-day trip, a cruise, around the world. Actually around the Adriatic Sea. And they hit places like Rome, and they went to Greece and Sardinia, and they had just gotten into Venice, and they were loving it. And so I'm like, well, let me tell you, and I started talking to them about Vivaldi, who was from there, the guy that wrote Four Seasons. We had been to his concert the night before, or a concert, you know, with his music. We started talking about Marco Polo. I was telling them about Casanova being from Venice, and they're sitting there like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea, you know. And then we were in a Doge's palace, one of the rulers in Venice, and I started talking to them about the artwork on the ceiling and what was going on there and what it all meant. And they
– So basically
– they
what? Basically, Jeff's looking to get a job in Venice as a tour guide.
No. Yeah, it sounded familiar to something in the past in Virginia. But anyway, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, it was like, there it is, you know. I'm like, you know, I want to live this way. I want to keep going mm-hmm. places, doing things I haven't done before. And I thought mm-hmm. about, wow, what I love to do is I love to guide, you know. And if I were to narrow down my calling, is I move people. That's my job, you know, I move people. And you wouldn't see all of me if all they did was flew you to San Francisco. But way I think I move people is through inspiration. And I love this idea of guiding. And so we came home really thinking, I wonder if the next stage of our journey looks like taking people with us. I think Donald Miller in his book, A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, was talking about some adventures that they planned and did together. And the ones that they actually planned out and did were the most meaningful of memories and experiences. And so what would it be like to maybe do this but bring some people with us on these adventures?
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I mean, it's fascinating because I think you've actually talked about this before, this idea. I mean, years and years ago, But, Jeff, when you just said, you know, I move people, you're a people mover, I thought, there it is. That's that word, that's that phrase that I think really does capture the heart of who you are and the effect of your life. That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because to go back to work and really put your head in the books and have to, you know, deal with all the things that happen in an airline, in an institution called American Airlines, your calling doesn't go away. It's there.
Right.
You know? It's willing to be recalled in a moment's notice. You know, it's right there. And so it's never I never really went into this with a lot of apprehension, like I might lose something. But there it is. And so that seems to be like the next step. And so, you know, we're just talking to some people about, hey, what would it be like to set something up like this to offer, you know, you could do tours, do a C.S. Lewis tour in England. You know, I mean, there's Costa Rica, jungle tours. There's just all kinds of things and opportunities and taking people and opening up maybe a little bit of a larger world. To ourselves and those around us.
Hmm. That's great. That's fascinating, and it seems very fitting. So
yeah.
Okay, so we're at the end of our time. John, do you have any kind of final thoughts, reactions to this conversation with Jeff and Dana?
I was just going to answer the question that I asked while I go by saying I think that you're – calling as a couple is to inspire. I think that's what both of you do. And I think you do it as a couple.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's true as well.
And this is really, you know, and what a gift it was from Zoe to call us in to do this, but to be able to begin to work together is clearly the Father's hand, you know, in this. You know, there is a show on TV. It's called Fixer Upper. And they have a woman named Joanna and Chip Haynes. What's her last name, honey?
Gaines.
John knows.
Yeah. Right. I think the reason that show is so successful is because of how their marriage gets worked out in this show and building and designing these houses for people. And there's really something to be said about, you know, not giving tips and techniques concerning marriage, but just walk with me, you know, do what I do, you know, go with me. You know, sometimes it's not a tip and technique to get you through in your marriage. Sometimes it's taking her to a place like Venice where you're lost and you fall in love again with each other and you remember why you love her so much, you know, and, you know, just like the idea of God calling Abraham going, you know, hey, you live here, you're settled here, but let's go. We're moving out, you know, just come follow me. And how the adventure begins by going out into the unknown and doing that together.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Dana and Jeff, it is so good hearing your voices again. We've really missed you guys. And it's just so fun to catch up and hear your voices, and it feels like our family is back together again. So thank you for doing this. Thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure.
It was a pleasure. Boy. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
so
you're
if
welcome.
The family's gathering for Lacey's graduation, when do we show up then?
What do you want us to bring?
Anything you want, anytime you want. Just show up.
Yeah, I could make that, I think, you know.
Okay, we're here. You know where we live. You got the invitation without hesitation.
And,
so.
And we understand you're coming out here this way in July, huh, to do a retreat?
Well, you know what? Actually, that got canceled. I mean, as in
week.
And I had a feeling. Something in me said this is not going to work. And then, you know, one of the wives who said, hey, we want to bring you out. This is for our husbands this week at this cabin, going through their calling, doing all that you do. And she just said everything just kind of fell apart with everyone, so we're canceling. So now it doesn't mean we're not coming out to North Carolina. It just means we're not coming out for a retreat. So we're working on
we'll
it.
We'll stay tuned. Good. Okay.
Stay tuned.
We want to be in on that.
Good. Well, you too, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay.
And everyone, thank you for coming on with us and and doing this together.
John,
so.
Gary, thank you. Yeah, thank you. It was
John,
wonderful.
John, at some point it would be nice to meet you face-to-face.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sunday we'll either get to Charlotte or you guys come to Birmingham.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yep. So thank you, everybody, and good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.